3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. This is our final episode of our limited series where we talk about the series Ahsoka, ending, literally, with the finale, Chapter 8.
Usually that's how it ends, how shows end at the finale.
Well, it's the Jedi, the Witch, and the Warlord, which I thought was actually too much on the nose with Narnia.
This is the straw that broke the camel's back. The Narnia reference, as if all the Lord of the Rings references weren't enough.
Yeah, it was like, but it's so much on the nose. Like, literally, Lion, Witch, Wardrobe, and I saw it, I was like, dude, that's kind of really lame. But that's...
The thing is, I think it's one of those things. I mean, I don't want to interrupt the introduction because we're still in the introduction. We're not going to get into the episode. But I think this is one of those things where it's just like, because we are, you know, have the background of knowing all that lore, that's why it's just like, ugh, baloney.
Why? Yeah.
But if you don't know or you don't remember, like, I still think it works. But anyway, sorry. Continue with the introduction.
No, it's fine. So this is the final episode, and it was said that it was just going to be the one season, but I doubt that's the case after we saw this episode. What do you think, Goose?
Well, that's something that I have been talking about with other people, is trying to remember, and I could have probably searched on the internet, but I didn't because I'm too lazy. But in some conversations with some people, I was asking them if this was originally announced as a limited series or it was always
did we make it up
as a show. I actually don't remember what the consensus of all the answers I've gotten was. I think it was always announced as a regular show, not a limited series like Obi-Wan was. But that's neither here nor there, because we've reached the end and obviously there's going to be a season 2. But we can't continue talking about Ahsoka without acknowledging that the SAG-AFTRA 2023 strike is still going on. A couple weeks ago, thankfully, the WGA was able to get a deal with the AMPTP, and it was a pretty great deal. They basically got everything, most if not everything, that they wanted from the AMPTP, and the deal is going to last 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. Our prediction was that the SAG-AFTRA, the actors were going to follow suit and get their deal shortly thereafter, because you know, it's just like, why keep gilding the lily? Just give them the deal. You know, you're gonna fold. Well, you already folded once. But talks broke down last week. This week that we're recording, talks are gonna resume on Tuesday or Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. But we'd be remiss if we didn't recognize that this episode has been recorded during the 2023 SAG-AFTRA strike, and that without the labor of the actors currently on strike, this series would not exist. As always, if you're willing and able, please donate to the Entertainment Community Fund to support the actors that are still on strike and are, you know, going through hardship because they are currently without work to maintain, you know, to give them financial support to be able to, you know, pay their rent and pay for their food. So please donate if you're willing and able. And if you're not able, please be willing to share links to SAG-AFTRA posts that they're doing on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias to keep raising awareness. Because I think, unfortunately, because of the WGA portion being resolved, the SAG-AFTRA side of it has been kind of a little quiet. And because there's a lot of other things going on in the world, you know, it's just, you know, there was one war, now there's two. There's lots of noise out there. So we have to it's very difficult, I know, to keep bringing awareness to so many things, but we do our best, and we hope that you can as well in joining us in raising awareness to all the conflicts that are happening and our support to everyone that's suffering, but also to these actors that are, you know, also fighting for their labor rights and, you know, late unions together. you know, race, you know, race old boats. So
yeah,
let's support that. And that's my diatribe. Hopefully this is the last time that we have to say it, because by next week, hopefully everything will be solved. But, you know, we can't discount corporate greed. Yeah. But yeah. hopefully the MPTP can finally give the actors the deal they deserve.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Woo, there we go.
Now, Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
Chapter 8.
The Jedi, the Witch, and the Warlord.
Yeah.
Do you think that Filoni had that, like, in the back of his mind since the beginning, or that was, like, kind of like a late thing? He was just writing, like, oh, what should this episode be called? And then all of a sudden he looks at his bookshelf and he sees the C.S. Lewis stuff in there.
Narnia.
And
he's like, yeah.
There we go. If I just switch two of those titles, I get my chapter title. Yeah. Which, to be fair, I think it was a clever wordplay, because Warlord, Wardrobe.
Yeah. Wardrobe.
It kind of fit. So,
but it was so on the nose.
It's too on the nose, but I can't begrudge him, because it fit. Although we could have, well, I guess depending on your point of view, because I would say should have been the Jedi, the Witches, the Warlord, but
yeah,
you can make the point that it's referring to Morgan Elspeth in this one, so that's why it's just witch.
Just one witch. Mm-hmm.
But that's nitpicking, you know. We're not going to spend this
talking
about the title.
Yeah, I know. And I actually read somewhere, and now I really can't remember where it was, so I can't reference it, sorry. But I had read somewhere that the Chronicles of Narnia were what kind of inspired the world between worlds.
Makes sense.
The world between worlds.
And my English shuts down all the time. Especially with it's not a tongue twister per se, but it's close enough.
Yeah. I had read an interview somewhere that's what, you know, it's one of the things that inspired it. And obviously it makes sense. Travel between realms, blah, 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 blah. And time works differently. So it would make sense for, you know, the title to be like an homage to that. But still, two on the nose.
at least we know that Filoni can read. So he can read, and he's definitely read Lord of the Rings and the Chronicles of Narnia. So good for you, Dave. Good for you.
Yeah.
But before we get going to like the very specific things of the episode, just initial reaction, Nani. Like, how did you feel during the finale of the show? And how did you feel after it was over? Like, now we've had like a week to let it sit. Like, how, like, what, how did the, not the show as a whole, let's just talk about the episode. Yeah. How did that episode make you feel?
Okay. So when I first watched it, when it first came out, and I usually watch all these things with Josbando, so we kind of feed off of each other with the emotions and everything. And, you know, we'd had a few drinks.
As one does.
Some of the elements of it were getting us like really excited. So we ended up enjoying it a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember I actually texted you. I was like, that was epic. And you were like, well, I don't necessarily think it was epic, but I'm a little bit more restrained.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking it was amazing. And then I let it sit for like a week, and then without any drinks, rewatched it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this time I just felt a little bit like unsatisfied, you know, because there's so many things that are left unresolved. And I'm sure that part of it was because we sadly lost Ray Stevenson, and then they kind of had to like patchwork the end a little bit. And it felt a little broken in a way, like it didn't necessarily make complete sense, even though I do think that they did a good job, you know, with what they could do. And then when they dedicated it to Ray Stevenson, I started crying, you know, and I'm super sad that he's not going to get to see. He did such a good job.
He did. I'm not saying he didn't. Rest in peace. I know.
Yeah, so I was left kind of, because I think we've talked about this before a lot, that even though it's probably not its own contained thing, because we're probably going to get a second season, there's probably going to be tie-ins with his Filoni's movie. So we know the story's not done, but when you finish a season, you kind of want the story of that season to conclude in a way that makes sense. And there was, in some senses, they were, and we'll get into it. I feel like Anakin's story, we feel like it was brought full circle, and there's a lot of like good feelings about stuff that happened. In another way, there was a lot of, oh, we're just like leaving it as a cliffhanger just for cliffhanger's sake.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's how I felt. How did you feel about it?
Very, very interesting. Very interesting, okay. Because okay. I sympathize with a lot of the things that you said, and I did not have the benefit of watching it with somebody. Unfortunately, yeah. I watched it by myself. So that euphoria, like, of watching it with someone was not there, which I think it's really cool. Like, a couple of weeks ago, Shays, Trey, and I were able to, like, watch the episode with Anakin. And, like, that was a blast to just watch it with some friends because, you know, it feeds off your positive energy, you know? These are shows that are fun, right? And it's
And that episode was fantastic. I think it was my favorite of the season.
Yeah. And we'll get to, mm-hmm. like, our maybe we'll do that in a separate episode. Whatever. We'll decide later. However, it was interesting because, as you know, you and I were kind of, like, on opposite sides of the fence with
when it started.
With the show. Our expectations, our wants, mm-hmm. and our a positive outlook, right, towards the show. We were, like, opposite in that regard, which is funny because I think we were also opposites on Andor. So it's fun to see, like, how everything has evolved towards the end. So, you know, I've been on board with the show since the beginning. I've been loving the whole thing, obviously. Like, I think it's built, well, not obviously, for me, like, it's built up very well into, like, the crescendo up until, you know, we get to Peridia. But, and I have to say this, but with a caveat, because I have to qualify it. I enjoyed the finale. Let's do the compliment sandwich. I enjoyed the finale. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of fun. It's very Star Wars / fantasy. You know, you're storming a castle, and there's, you know, knights that are there to stop you from reaching the princess. In this case, you know, like, I guess the princess is Ezra because we have to get her out of the castle. So, you know, it's very fun to see, like, all these tropey fantasy things collide with Star Wars, but also, you know, zombies. So, you know, I never thought we were going to, we were theorizing about zombie stormtroopers, but we finally got zombie stormtroopers, which is awesome.
Which was actually kind of awesome. So,
I mean,
I was very excited to see the zombies. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I love, as we talked about last time, I really love, like, the design evolution of the night troopers and, like, how they're with the kintsugi and, like, all the night sister rap. So
love it. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to love about the episode from a visual standpoint. And, like, that ending, mm-hmm. you know, especially with Ray Stevenson, I forgot his character, Baylan, like, at the end, which we'll discuss later. Yeah. But that literal cliff
visual,
mm-hmm. you know, it's okay,
on a cliff.
Not a cliff, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's on the Argonath, right? Looking towards Mount Doom. It's just, like, so epic.
Yeah.
But here's the but, and I promise it's gonna be a compliment sandwich. I will end it with positivity. But I felt empty at the end of the episode because I was just like, oh, that's it. Yeah. I was just kind of, you know, it's like there was no conclusion, right? And like, I've seen people online defend this type of ending, being like, well, we have to understand this is serialized storytelling, and obviously it's going to continue, and we'll, you know, we'll see what happens at another point in time. And I'm like, no, but that doesn't, like, there's a difference between, like, leaving plot threads hanging mm-hmm. to be continued and unraveled somewhere else, or, like, discovering mm-hmm. a new plot thread when you end the show. But in a sense, like, the show has to, like, come full circle in terms of, like, finishing a narrative structure for certain mm-hmm. characters and revealing mysteries and things like that, so that you kind of get, you know, a contained story, even though it's going to be mm-hmm. overarching in other seasons. Because we knew since the beginning that Ahsoka, even if there wasn't going to be a season 2, because we thought it was going to be
still going to be the film.
But there was going to be the film and the Mandoverse, so we knew there was going to be things that were going to be continued elsewhere. But
the story,
in terms of the contained story of Ahsoka, the series of itself, I was just like, that's it? I'm just like...
Yeah, it wasn't satisfying.
And I don't know. It was, no. And I don't know if it's a thing of it only being 8 episodes and maybe needing a couple more to, you know, really go. And like, we'll talk about specific moments that I'm just like, maybe we should have like polished that a little bit more. But it felt like we rushed towards the ending. Like we kind of expect that was going to happen. And then it's just too much stuff left open. Like we still don't know what Shin and Baylan were looking for. We don't get to see why Thrawn is like this threat to the New Republic. Morgan's story comes to the conclusion, unfortunately, even though it was an epic lightsaber battle or lightsaber and sort of Talzin battle. But you know, there's no, at least to me, like I didn't feel like any plot point from either the characters or the narrative found a satisfying conclusion. Everything was left kind of like, okay, well, you know, I feel like the only thing that kind of was fulfilled or ended, and I say that with trepidation, is kind of Ahsoka's arc with Sabine. It's just like, oh, you learn to finally be together, and now you're Ahsoka the White, and Sabine, you learn to use the Force, and now you're Master and Padawan, and you're finally, you know, in like the opposite position that you were at the beginning of the show. I think like that's like, and even then, like it didn't feel earned just because we only have one episode to kind of get to that point in their relationship.
Yeah.
That being said, is it fun? Yes. Is it entertaining? Yes. Does it have awesome Star Wars moments? Yes. Does it have like really cool connections to Rebels? Yes. So at the end of the day, this is a good episode of Star Wars TV. Yeah. So, and like I always say, even it's bad just not Star finale Wars is material. Good Star Wars. And I'm not saying this is bad Star Wars by any means whatsoever, but it just did not hit the mark. And I want to know, before we get into like specific plot points, did you feel similarly in that regard? Why did you feel that way? And do you think that a longer season would have helped?
That's hard. And I think a longer season might have helped, actually, just because we have episodes that we don't even have Ahsoka in. Mm-hmm. And I understand why they did them, because you needed... The thing is, the show shouldn't have necessarily be called Ahsoka, because it's not just about her story. It's kind of a continuation of Rebels. Five.
Yeah.
So then you need all... Especially because you're trying to sell a story for people that haven't necessarily watched any of the animated stuff and come in here without knowing anything, you do have to develop the other characters as well. So it does make sense to have episodes, especially when they become separated, in which you need to develop these characters, understand why they're making the decisions that they're making, so that it all makes sense. But if the plan was to do that, then you need a little bit more episode count so that you can flesh out Ahsoka's development as well. And we didn't really feel that, like you said, at the end. I mean, in general, the season, I wasn't as happy with it as you were. When it started, I thought it was a slow start. I have to be honest, after those first two episodes, if it wasn't for this podcast, I would have probably waited for the whole thing to run and then watch it. Because I was like, I'm not feeling this all that much. But then right in the middle, with the Anakin episodes and all that, it started really picking up steam. It started to be really compelling, and you start to really feel like immersed in the story of these characters. And then that middle point was so fantastic and well done and thought out. And then the ending, like you said, was kind of rushed. I mean, we barely have time to breathe, you know, a sigh of relief that we found Ezra, and then we're already like on to the next thing.
Right.
So it could have been fleshed out a little bit more. They didn't necessarily have to do the, you know, the fleeing from that galaxy so fast. Right. I mean, still happy that we're going to get to see more of that planet, just because, you know, Ahsoka and Sabine got stranded. But it would have been, I think, better maybe if somehow Thrawn's escape would have been thwarted, and we could have gotten to see more drama there before it's already like, oh, we're already back.
Right, right.
So
it's, I thought the same
it
thing.
It seemed like, you know, after all that time waiting and all that preparation and all the things, then you do the whole escape in like half of an episode at the end.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wait, okay. They're gone. That's it.
It's so interesting because, I strange. Don't disagree. I don't disagree with like anything that you've said. I don't disagree with anything that you've said. And yeah. I think that a longer season would have helped for certain points, specifically developing the relationships between Sabine and Ezra and Ahsoka and Sabine, you know, because there's still things there that just felt so rushed. And it's because you kind of had to, right? Because like there's so many things that need to happen to get to that final episode that those characters couldn't really breathe.
And
there were like some plot contrivances that I was kind of disappointed by too, especially with Ezra. And I know this is a scene that a lot of people loved, but for me, it just fell flat because I'm like, oh, but you're kind of undermining what happened. And it's when he's building the lightsaber and he's fighting with, when he's fighting with Hu Yang, and then Hu Yang just gives him the emitter that it was a, the same from that Kanan Jarrus used.
Kanan.
Like, I mean, visually, it's great, and to connect it with Rebels, I thought it was like really poignant, and you know, it's thematically, I think it's great, right, to see Ezra do that. But to me, it was kind of like a cognitive dissonance all of a sudden, because in the previous episode, it's just like, I don't need a lightsaber. I can only fight. I only fight with the Force, and I'm like, oh man, that's great, because we get to see, you know, a Jedi reject the lightsaber and just use the Force in that way to fight, which I thought was going to be a good way to move forward. But then immediately says, ah, never mind, I need a lightsaber. And all this time that we see that every time anyone talks about a lightsaber, about like how you need to, you know, take your time to build it and find your kyber crystal and like have this, you know.
Yeah. Where did he get a kyber crystal, by the way?
I mean, I'm sure that Hu Yang just had like a bunch of...
hidden away.
At least has three kyber crystals in there. But, you know, it's just like from going into like, I'm only going to use the Force, so now I'm just going to rush to build a lightsaber because we need to have like a trifecta of lightsaber wielders in the final show. It felt hollow, even though it's not. But, you know, it's just like, it's just whiplash.
Because it was, I mean, the design, it's so cool to see like that it's so similar to Kanan's. I love the fact that he called him Caleb.
Yeah.
Hu Yang, when he said that, I was like, oh my God, they called him Caleb. That's so cool. But yeah, as to what you were saying, especially because, and we've talked about it because we have an episode talking about the Clone Wars episode where the younglings build their sabers.
Wonderful whole, episode. Like, you should check it out if you haven't.
And there's like this, it's so tied to what being a Jedi is, and one of the good things about what the Jedi are, because so many things about the Jedi for me are like super corrupt and, you know, culty and weird and stuff, but that connection with the Force and building this weapon that's like an extension of yourself and what goes into it, like you said, like the trial to find the kyber crystal, to trying to decide what materials to use, and you know, Gungi with the wood. Gungi. And like you say, the fact that they did it that way, like the first time I saw it, I thought it was really cool to watch. But then on rewatch, it was like, it, like you said, I think it felt a little hollow, and like you're taking away from what that, how important that moment is for a Jedi. Especially for somebody who had spent all these years in exile without a lightsaber. And then you kind of turned it into this moment of like comic relief and, you know, Easter eggs.
Which works. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, because you set up this other thing, now with this one, it's just like, really? Because maybe, I mean, I think there needed to be, honestly, there needed to be an episode in between. Because I feel like we needed to have some development with Ezra's character. Because, let's face it, the only thing, let's assume no one's seen Rebels. Which most people, I think, that are watching the live action shows, haven't, for the most part, haven't seen the animation. So you don't know anything about Rebels. So that means you don't know anything about Ezra. So you watching the show without that context, you don't know jack shit about him. And then when you finally get to meet him, you really don't learn anything about him. We don't know how he got, I mean, sure, we know because we saw Rebels, but, you know, but it's not really explicitly said on the show, like, how they technically got there, how he survived, what happened between him and Thrawn.
I think the only thing that's kind of said is that Thrawn, like, when he comments once to one of the witches, I think, that don't underestimate the Jedi. Even I was, like, tricked by a Jedi. And we know it's Ezra, but it's not said explicitly. And like you said, they don't really explain how it happened.
And I'm not saying that they need to drop all the facts and just have this exposition dump on, like, here's everything that happened. Because I think it'll be cool to actually get the eventual Timothy Son novel where they're going to, you know, elaborate all that backstory. But, you know, some nuggets here to be like, oh, like, there's a mystery that happened. There's a bigger story there that, about what happened with this character. But we, frankly, don't get anything. And then when we were, like, starting to, like, get back in the groove of, like, having Ezra back in the crew, it's like, never mind. Get back in the same Star Destroyer that brought you here so you can get...
Yeah, so you can get back. Can
get out.
And,
it's like, okay, so, like, bye, I guess? Which I thought was kind of funny that that Ezra leaves the same way he got there on the same Star Destroyer. So it's kind of like, okay, sure, fine. What is this? So I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's weird. Yeah. Like, the whole Sabine thing, when she uses the Force, felt... We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We knew it was going to happen, but when it happens, it's kind of like a... like, it didn't have the, you know, it didn't have the same oomph as when, like, Rey gets the lightsaber in The Force Awakens. Yeah. When Rey does it, it's like, oh, shit moment.
Yeah.
And here, it was just like, oh, okay.
Okay, that's fine. She can use the Force now.
Good. We did it. So we were expecting it, and I think it would have been... I was talking with Alex from Star Wars Explained, and, like, one of the things that he was saying was that for him, it would have been more poignant if Sabine had, like, used the Force to save Ezra at that moment.
Yeah.
It's just like, instead of just like, well, no, I need to do, you know, I need to kill the zombie death trooper, or double death trooper, I guess, because he was a zombie. But no, you know, it would have, because it's like, oh no, I have to do it for my friends, which I think is the whole crux of the show and Rebels. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, you're found family and doing things to save them. So it would have meant more in that sense, because she's doing it selflessly. Yeah. But, which I agree, I think that would have worked a lot better. But the fact that it was the way it was, it, you know, it didn't impact me. Because, again, we've been building up to it. So it's just like, it was an expectation.
Yeah, there wasn't enough payoff. Yeah, I agree. And there was something about, I don't know if you felt it, but the fighting wasn't as dynamic as I wanted it to be sometimes.
Huh. How so?
I don't know. Especially that when it's like the three of them against the, like, the zombies for the first time. Some
it
of it
felt
just,
too,
like,
choreographed.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
And it was, like, too clean, and, you know, it was just too choreographed. And I actually think Ezra did a really good job.
Yes, I was gonna say that. And Sabine.
And I think the problem has been, and for me, and that's why I've had so much of a hard time with, you know, seeing Rosario as Ahsoka, when she fights Elsbeth.
That fight was awesome.
That one was awesome, but you didn't see Ahsoka being comfortable until she lost one of her lightsabers. Like, Rosario can fight, I know, but Rosario can fight fine with, like, one lightsaber, but she can't really pull off the double wielding. Like, it never really felt believable to me.
I don't necessarily disagree.
I don't disagree.
I don't necessarily disagree. Because I did get those choreography vibes when they were the three of them. It's just like, it felt very Taibo. You know, it was just like one, two, three, and like do the thing. It wasn't a deal breaker, honestly. like some people are, like, harping on it and, like, going hard. It's like, it's Star Wars. It's goofy sometimes, and, you know, fine.
If we
got the Morgan Elsbeth fight and that was awesome, and we had to just take a couple seconds of choreographed blaster deflection, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But yes, I did notice it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, like, now that people are posting, like, GIFs and stuff online, it's just like, one, two.
I hadn't seen any of those, though, because, you know, I'm terrible at social media. But that's just how I felt when I watched it.
But the fight with Morgan was great.
The fight with Morgan was really good. Yeah. Just like her fights with Ray Stevenson. The fights with Balin were so cool because there was that awesome, like, he's a medieval knight kind of thing. That was so cool about his character design to begin with. Like, his stances, the way his outfit looks like armor, and the whole thing, I thought was really, really cool. So, but again, that's so much. Obviously, we know that we lost Ray Stevenson. We don't know what they were looking for, but there was a lot about his relationship with Shin that we didn't get to explore either. Like, he kind of just, like, dumped her, and then she's alone, and like, what was happening?
Because we'll see what's gonna happen.
We'll see. I know.
This is gonna be some Lord of the Rings stuff, obviously, where like they're, you know, on a quest and their quests are gonna like cross paths and like all these things. So like, I'm not too worried about where their characters are gonna go because we know that they're going somewhere. My problem is like where they are, you know, like at the end of the show, because it's like what we were saying. It's just, we saw that split between Baden and Shin, but like, it's one of those things where it's just like, it was really interesting because those, like, the two of them are really interesting characters. But when that split happens, because we don't know exactly what their goals are, because they refuse to tell us, because I guess it's a big reveal for season two. It's like, it doesn't have the weight. It's just like, oh, so he left her. Why? And what did she want? It's just like, what? Like, we don't, since we don't know what their, you know, what their purposes and goals are, it doesn't hit as hard. Like, they're separated. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. So, but I do think that it will be explored in season two, and we'll get the questions that we're asking now and the frustrations that we have will be addressed. I just hope that it weren't as cut and dry as it is right now. It's just very binary. It's like mystery left here, so we can solve it there. And it's like, no, you can sprinkle stuff to the.
Just give us an idea of what's happening.
Exactly. Just because you're revealing some information doesn't mean you have to give us the whole enchilada. So that means like, oh, no, we got an idea, but we still have some clues that we need to now pick up in the next season. How did you feel about Morgan dying? Oh, first becoming a full-fledged Night Sister, only to die at the hands of Ahsoka.
I feel so bad for her. And I think we were talking about it the last time we did an episode about how she was being manipulated so hard. I mean, the Night Sisters were, you know, in the galaxy of, you know, far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
Our galaxy, far, far away. The Night Sisters were just savagely, you know, genocided, you know, destroyed. And, you know, it's an entire culture that kind of disappeared. And they were some of the most interesting characters. So we see this woman that we first met in The Mandalorian, and then it's revealed here that she's a Night Sister, which was so exciting to find out. And she is the reason that everybody was able to leave the exile, because, you know, they manipulated her with dreams to get her to, you know, do all these fetch quest things so they could find the other galaxy and get all the way there. And she was completely instrumental. And they... as soon as they got away back, they just used her as cannon fodder. You know, they binded her fully into being a Night Sister and gave her a badass sort of. It was Mother Talsin.
Yeah,
Mother Talsin, and it's green. It was fantastic. I love it. I love the green of the magic of the Night Sisters. The I know. Green fire.
Yep,
the green. It was so good. And then it's like, oh, we're escaping, so you stop this person from joining. You know, this is how you honor your legacy. It's like, she did everything. What does she get in return? To die?
Well, it's like, she's basically kind of kamikaze in that sense. Like, well, I'm sacrificing myself so that, like, my...
So that because that's what she says,
right? For Dathomir, right? So so she believes her sacrifice is going to lead to something greater for the Night Sisters. But you can tell that the Night Sisters, the great mothers aren't too thrilled with Papa Thrawn, because when Thrawn rains hellfire on their castle, on their, you know, whatever we want to call it, their face does not say happiness.
Yeah.
So there's going obviously be some conflict there between Thrawn and the mothers, because their interests look like are getting misaligned now that they're, you know, going to the back to Dathomir.
Yeah, which I was so excited to see that they actually did go back to Dathomir, because I was wanting for that to happen, and then it did, and I was like, yes.
I was, and wasn't at the same time, because if you've played Jedi Fallen Order, one of the planets is Dathomir, and that is one of the most terrifying video game experiences I've ever had. So I was just like, oh, no. And I was like, go, I'm not ready. I'm just kind of scared.
Scary stuff.
But no, but it'll be great. It'll be great. I'm being facetious. It's awesome.
It is fucking, I mean, the design for Dathomir that we got in the animated stuff was so haunting and just absolutely gorgeous. So I can't wait to see what it looks like live action. But yeah, I agree with you that there's definitely going to be conflict between Thrawn and the three witches, because you can tell from the conversation that they had, it seemed to me like they were kind of in some form of hibernation, and then Thrawn kind of woke them up so he could help. And obviously they saw Thrawn as the only way to, you know, get out of where they were and, you know, reestablish their race, which is
interesting.
Pretty sure they're doing so.
Because why can't they ride the Purrgil again? Because they used to ride them. Right, that's what they said. That's how they got back. So I wonder if there's like some lore thing that's going to be explored where they can't write them anymore because of their connection to the dark side. So I wonder if the Night Sisters used to be more attuned to the light, and that's when they were able to write the Purrgil. And then when they got to Dathomir, they got, you know, all witchy dark side magic type of stuff, and that's when their connection to the Purrgil was severed, because from what we've seen with the Purrgil, they're light side aligned, because they always help, always help our heroes. So I wonder if there's something there about how they connect with nature now that hasn't allowed them to ride the Purrgil back to our side, side of the galaxy, to the classic galaxy.
Which, honestly, if they do it that way, I would be kind of upset, because this whole, like, witches are evil thing.
not witches are evil, because we have Glenda the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz. It's just that now with the, you know, the dark magic, you can use a light magic.
And I mean, the witches witches have always had, like, they've always been depicted as having a strong connection to nature and stuff. So I don't know. I think they would have to be careful in doing that. I love my witches.
I love my witches too. I'm just saying. Because, for example, look at Dathomir. Dathomir doesn't look like a very hospitable place. You know, it doesn't look like it's nice.
True.
So I wonder, and this is just like pure speculation out of my ass. I accept that. It's just that you triggered my imagination by, you know, talking about having to hitch a ride with Thrawn. When it was established that the way that they traveled was through the Purrgil. It's like, okay, well, if you did that once, why can't you do it again? We've seen the Purrgil come back, so you can do it.
Well, we know that something happened on that planet, because clearly it's been...
like, it's not looking too hot.
Almost raised to the ground.
Great. Yeah.
They were clearly... most of the Night Sisters are probably, you know, dead or in stasis in those tombs or whatever they were. Clearly they've lost the source of power. There's something scary on the planet. Like, we don't really know what happened there.
It looks like Isengard in the Two Towers when Saruman was cutting down all the trees, and that whole area started looking like, you know, like it's seen better days. So that's why I wonder if, like, the Night Sisters are gonna like find like a different way, which is gonna purify Dathomir. Yeah. It's gonna be, you know, a beautiful planet, and then they bring it back to Peridia, and Peridia blossoms again into an Eden of sorts, because maybe Peridia was Eden. Maybe that's like the origin of a lot of these things. But there was a corruption that happened.
Yeah, something
which ties
happened
to what you're saying about them having to go to hibernation. Because maybe it was like, I don't know, this is a controversial movie, but like in Alien Covenant and Prometheus, where the engineers, you know, kind of sowed their own destruction with their weapons of mass destruction and bioweapons, and then they had to also go into, some of them went into hibernation. So maybe it's something like that. I'm going off the rails here, so you need to steer me back.
Well, it is, no, because it really could be, you don't know what it is. Like, I kind of get the feeling that they send the Night Sisters to the other galaxy because mm-hmm. their planet was already dying and they wanted to like colonize somewhere else, had to get them somewhere else. So we don't know because we've only seen this one planet in this new galaxy. We don't mm-hmm. know if the rest of the galaxy is dead or if it's not. Like, we have no idea. I think there's still a lot that can be explored, which obviously makes it all the more interesting. But it just leaves so many loose threads. Like,
yeah.
we just found an entire new galaxy, and we know nothing about it.
Right. And that's... I know we're going to see it in season two, but that was yeah. kind of like my thing with Peridia. Like, I was looking forward yeah. to it so much. I'm just like, well, we're trying to a new galaxy, yeah. a new planet, yeah. something we've...
There's no
never
rules.
Seen before.
It's
there's no,
completely
exactly.
new.
There's yeah. no rules. This can be, yeah. we can turn this into whatever
we
franchise
want.
We yeah. want now. Mm-hmm. And then we get there and yeah, the Noti are cool. And like, we see all the Night Sister statues, but we didn't see anything that was outside of a lot of the things that we already kind of knew. So
yeah.
hopefully, yeah, season two, we get to explore a lot more of the weirdness of this new galaxy. And speaking yeah. of that, how did you feel, like, at the end, when we see Baylan's call go up the Argonath?
Yeah.
Pointing to Mount Doom, the but then when we and then when we zoom out, it's not the Argonath anymore. Did you recognize the figures, by the way, when
yes,
it
I
zoomed
did.
Out? Okay, because I've yes, seen some yes, people, friends, that I'm not going to call them out here, but people that
they
should
did.
Be that should be on their Star In, Wars game.
Yeah.
Not going to call them out here, but people that should be on their Star Wars game. I have been on Star Wars Trivia and done well. That did not recognize
did not
them
see
at
it.
First.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, I was like, come on, my dudes. But what did you think when you saw that, like, Baylan's call was on top of a statue of the father, the son and the daughter without
and
a
broken
face.
Daughter. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they actually went there. Because we already got this, like, look into the world between worlds, which is fantastic. And that was always an arc that we've loved a lot. We have an mm-hmm. episode about it as well.
Oh, is it wonderful? Check yeah. it out, please.
It's always something that I've really enjoyed about the story, like the Rebels, all that mysticism in Star Wars. It's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the most interesting things. And there is a lot about that story that we don't know because it's so wrapped in mystery.
Mm-hmm,
and we really don't know who they really were, what their real purpose was. Like, for a second, I actually thought maybe that was the planet from the world between, from when they get hijacked
mm-hmm.
by when Anakin and
Ahsoka.
I mean,
it still can be, just because it's
yeah.
not the mm-hmm. diamond thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the diamond thing mm-hmm. is kind of like the Tesseract in Interstellar, and it's just, or the wormhole in Interstellar. It's just
mm-hmm.
like, it's
the way you get there.
It's the way
yeah.
you get there. Once you're
yeah.
there, you're in the planet. So it's still could be. It
yeah.
still could be. I personally don't
yeah.
want it to be. I think
yeah.
that that planet should kind of be outside of
in its own realm or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But just seeing it made me feel so intrigued and think, oh, there's so much they can do with this. And I'm pretty sure in that episode we also saw the Morai, right?
Yeah,
we saw the owl.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So
a little skinnier than I thought it was gonna be. I saw it and I was like, that's skinny, skinny Morai. I thought it was gonna be a little.
Yeah.
We're not body shaming, obviously, but I thought Morai
yeah.
was going to be
yeah.
shaped a little different. So I'm going to say,
yeah.
based
yeah.
on Rebels. But
yeah,
whatever. Morai hit the gym.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Which,
matter.
And it was kind of hilarious because I remembered, I think in the previous episode, I was like, it's so strange that we haven't seen the Morai at all because the Morai was following Ahsoka pretty consistently in Rebels.
Yep.
And I was like, are they just like not going to do this? Is the world between worlds just a way for her to meet Anakin and that's it? They're not going to play into this? And then in this episode, we get the Morai and then the statues.
And then
like,
Filoni was just
okay.
like, hold, calm down,
yeah.
sit.
Yeah. I got
sit,
you.
Sit
got
down.
You.
Sit down. It's not over.
It's
this is like Return of the King. There's five different endings. Wait for all
yeah.
of them.
You don't get out. Don't stand
don't
up
get
and get out of the theater.
Don't get, you're
yeah.
going to
sit
like
down.
It. Don't worry. We're going to
yep.
go to the Undying Lands. We're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give it a second.
Give it a second. Just
give
wait.
It a second.
Just wait.
Yes.
It's interesting because my mind was blown when I saw the Argonath was actually the father and the son and the Holy Spirit. I mean, the daughter. But then, like, I started thinking about it, and especially by reading, like, theories online about what's going to happen, about Ahsoka taking up the mantle of the daughter, or, like, Anakin becoming the father, like, at some point. Like,
oh, God.
And all these things, and I'm just like, I'm not saying that they're not going to happen. I'm not saying that, because who knows? But for me, it's,
no,
like, I'm not sure I dig all of those ideas, because it makes these stories that are not the main Skywalker saga, like, so much more big than like the Skywalker saga is. And, you know, at least according to, like, how I understand Star Wars and everything, the most important stories and the biggest stories that shape galactic history and that, like, have the most consequence are, you know, Anakin's story, Luke's story, and then Rey's story. Those are, like, the big things. So for me, like, I think it's kind of tricky or nebulous when we kind of go to these side characters, that, not to say that their stories aren't important or can't be big in their own right, but then when they start kind of being, like, way more mythical than the main mythos is, I'm just like, ooh, I'm just like, ugh. Like, how do we,
like, then be it's just like, with
so,
that.
So it's just like, why doesn't Ahsoka then just come in and, you know, do whatever she needs to do in the main story? So I don't know. Maybe that's me. Maybe, like, I'm very small-minded, and, like, I don't want my side stories to grow to the size that they can grow. But it's odd. It's odd. That's all I'm going to say. Because I think it raises a lot more questions than it answers.
Yeah. So I was actually thinking, because we always talk about it's these three characters, but we know that Baylan is looking for this, like, power that's there. Do you think there's a chance that it's the mother?
So that is the big theory online, that it's Abeloth. And I think, I don't know, like, if you remember when WandaVision came out, everyone thought that the villain was, oh my God, forgot the name. What was the name of the...
Oh, Fred?
No. Oh my God.
Oh, the actual character. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like an idiot now. I always forget when it's time to drop the bomb. And I'm going to find it. God damn it.
I believe you.
Mephisto. There we go. Everyone thought the bad guy was going to be plot twist. It's Mephisto. So I feel like the new Mephisto for Ahsoka is Abeloth. And full disclosure, I had no fucking idea who Abeloth was before reading all these theories, because I haven't read all the Expanded Universe books.
Well, actually,
I
haven't read the theories. I didn't know she had a name. I just assumed if there was a father.
I thought you had read, and that's well, Abeloth is the mother, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she's this. I read this a couple weeks
Uber
ago.
Uber power for something.
Yeah,
something.
It's one of those things where I read it and it's like, that's too much.
Too much. Too overpowered. That's too crazy.
Too much. But then the more, like, I've heard about it and, like, read about it, it's like, they might do it, because it's kind of like the lingering mythic component that's missing from, because it's maybe not a, it's not a trio. Maybe, you know, maybe it's, you know,
yeah,
a diamond. And you're missing the other portion. So, as you know, you have the daughter and the son, but then mother and father.
And father,
I kind of don't want it to be, but, like,
I think it's going to depend on how it's handled.
It kind of sounds like maybe.
Like, it could be.
And I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't want to give the wild theory nerds from online the... You know, I don't want to say you guys are right, but maybe. Like, you not knowing exactly, like, the background of Abeloth, and frankly, I don't know that much either.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your theory coming from, like, just, you know, blank slate?
Well, just because. I just thought I saw them, and there's always been talk of them, and that he has to, the father always had to keep the two siblings, you know, in balance,
mm-hmm.
because... and we know it went completely to shit after, you know, the daughter, she gave up her life, right, to save Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. And everything went in disbalance and all these things. But it always seemed to me, and especially now that we saw those three statues, the daughter without the face, but the Morai is around, which a lot of we mostly theorize that the Morai is a representation of the daughter.
Yeah.
And I figured there has to be, and if they're looking for somebody powerful, and it's the home planet of the witches, it could have been the mother, and the mother was the first of the
Uber,
witches.
The Uber mommy. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you got the great mother, but then you got the mom.
Yeah.
It's like a mom, so mom's going to ground you. She's going to make you do the dishes. Like, yeah.
Just like general fantasy tropes and all that kind of stuff. That's what it looked like to me. And clearly Ahsoka has been leaning a lot more towards those fantasy tropes, trying to combine them with Star Wars and everything else. And
I mean, it's wild. It's wild. It's wild. Yeah. And like another thing that I think kind of strengthens your point is that this show, the title of this episode notwithstanding, this show has leaned very heavily on referencing religious tropes from Christianity with like Enoch. It has obviously referenced Greek mythology, like with the Morai and oh my god, the threats, the trio of ladies. Well, the threats, the fates. Thank you.
Yeah,
I was spinning my wheels
there.
The fates and
also witchcrafts, like you have the mother, the Wiccan, the crone.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of like mythic tropes that like have been going on with the show that like for better or worse, because I think they're really interesting to have, but as we've discussed, some are like way too heavy-handed. But like now in discussing this, like it could, you know, it kind of very religious, because it's very Genesis, well, not Genesis, because this is an apocryphal book of the Bible, but the mother could be kind of like a Lilith character, where she's like the mother of demons, the woman that was ostracized because she you know, because she didn't do things the way God wanted her to. So and maybe the daughter and the son are kind of like versions of Cain and Abel, and it's, and you know, so it's kind of like
cool.
And the father is kind of Adam, so it's
Lilith with Adam's first wife.
So,
but she was ostracized because she didn't want to follow with the plans, and then he got.
Well, I think at this point there's no Eve, right? I think the father just decided to be a single dad.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm not gonna deal with this crap
anymore. He just got divorced, and he's just like, and that's what he's pointing. It's like, that's where my ex-wife is. Like, don't go there. I mean,
don't go there. Don't wake her up. Let her be.
She's kind of bitter.
When she wakes up, she's gonna be
pissed.
It was
a rough divorce. It was a rough divorce. I kept the kids. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad.
Kind of took away all her power.
Yeah. We know that. Yeah, we know that family law in Peridia.
It's
very complicated. Very complicated.
Bad.
So, I actually, and that's a good point. I hadn't thought about it like in that religious context, but I think if you depower the mother from like how Abeloth is presented in the expanded universe, and like make her that more of a tropey, not well, saying the tropey sounds a little negative, but you make her like more akin to the mythic realm, that's a little more controlled to the powers of the father, the son, and the daughter, then I think it might be could work. I just don't necessarily like the idea of Ahsoka becoming the daughter and becoming that avatar, because it's just like, so you're like more dope than Anakin and Luke.
No, and then then you kind of minimize the story, the overarching arc, I think, as well. So, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, I think before we leave, we got a Force ghost.
Ah, so good. It's one of those things that everyone before the show started was theorizing. How are we going to get Anakin?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to come back as a hologram? Is he going to come back as a flashback? Is he going to come back as a Force ghost? And lo and behold, we got all of the above. We got every single
version
of Anakin that we wanted, and it was beautiful. I loved it. Some people are giving, criticizing that. It's like, oh, why would he appear to us? It's like, because why wouldn't he appear to Ahsoka? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, especially like after the setup that we got in the World Between Worlds. Excellent. My boy Hayden.
Yeah. And he was back in Jedi robes. And it's like, I don't know. I thought it was beautiful. Like, he looked so proud of Ahsoka in that moment. And when she's looking at him, it's just like, she'd been afraid for so long that she would turn into him, that to see him like become the Jedi that he was meant to be after death, it's like, oh, right. Becoming you isn't scary because you did redeem yourself.
Because exactly. Mm-hmm. It's becoming the best parts of you.
Yeah.
And I think that was the point. It's just like, hey, you can be like someone. You just mm-hmm. have to choose which parts of them to be.
Yeah. To emulate. Yeah.
So
I thought it brought the whole story full circle. I thought it made my heart burst a little bit. It was so well done. And we're not going to go into that much because we're planning to do an episode all about Anakin Skywalker and
the chosen
his
one.
Development throughout the films, the animated series, and now with
the resurgence
and coming back and giving us this fantastic character as Darth Vader in Obi-Wan Kenobi, mostly because we have some flashbacks too. But then as the healed
mm-hmm.
Anakin after, you know, coming, you know, reaching enlightenment after his relationship with Luke and being able to finish his training of Ahsoka.
Yep. Bah.
Death. Oh.
Incredible. It's gonna be incredible.
Great. It's going to be great.
Did you ever think in a, like, let's say Revenge of the Sith came out 2005. Let's say that in 2015, not even, well, 2015 is when Disney bought Star Wars. So let's say, well, when The Force Awakens came out, they bought it 2012. Let's say 2010. Did you, and I uh-huh. had told you, Hayden Christensen's coming back as Anakin Skywalker and we're going to love it. What would you have thought then?
I don't believe it.
I think.
Would not have believed it.
I think same. And I'm glad that we moved past that.
I am very glad because the reality is, you know, I was like a prequel hater when they first came out, except for Phantom Menace, which I actually really liked from the beginning.
Yeah,
but then Hayden wasn't even in that one, so and we were so angry because it just wasn't the character that we wanted because we were so in love with Darth Vader and it's one, it's completely unreasonable expectations. Two, it wasn't his fault. The script was, you know, because George Lucas doesn't know how people talk.
No, that's true. That's very
true. You know, and
God loves really George, but he does not understand.
Yeah, but he does not understand human conversation.
No.
So, I mean, he got a lot of hate for a lot of years. And I'm so happy, you know, especially for something because I think he was a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. And he was so excited that he got to wear, you know, Darth Vader costume when. And then people criticize him because he's too small to wear the costume. Like, he got so much criticism. To watch his renaissance now, I just want to clap for him.
Yeah.
You know,
same with Ahmed Best. As we can't talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We can't talk about Anakin coming back as Hayden coming back as Anakin without talking about Ahmed Best coming back into Star mm-hmm. Wars either and like having fans finally get over themselves and. Give them the love that they deserve. I don't want to say redemption because they never needed redemption, but getting love because, like, we were all of us because we all participated.
We all participated in the Jar Jar Binks
and being total dirtbags to them mm-hmm. as people when they didn't deserve it, and to see like that, you know, be erased and be substituted by love, acceptance, and joy is, you know, the best thing that we can do as fans. And as people, and like it's really like a high note right now of like where Star Wars is to, you know, come back after like almost 20 years since those movies. Well, no, 20 since Attack of the Clones. We're getting up to 20 from Revenge of the Sith. Can you believe that? Time is crazy. And kind of see that and, you know, do a 180 is incredible. But yeah. We can talk about this forever, and we will be talking a lot more about Anakin Skywalker and like all the shapes and forms that he has gone through since episode one, through Clone Wars, to now Ahsoka. So stay tuned for that. And we could be talking about Ahsoka forever. Maybe we need to do like a speculation video next about what we think/hope/.
And like maybe suspect. Do like a general Because we touched on it a little bit, but we could talk a little bit more about what we felt about the whole season. In its entirety, maybe talk about some of our favorite episodes, some of our favorite moments, and then do like some speculation of what we think could happen next season. So we can do that.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Yeah. We have definitely been a bad this year with like our podcast release schedule, but we're trying to get back on that horse, guys.
Well, and for the series, we were also trying to be respectful to.
We were respectful.
Yeah.
Because
we don't really want to. Yes, we are. But yeah, because we want to be, you know, solidarios with the strikes and everything. So
yeah.
But I think with that, we're done.
Stay tuned, because Star of the Forest only gets better.
We always do. Yeah, ahora en Puerto Rico ya empiezan las Navidades, so it's the best time.
It is. That's true. Longest Christmas in the world and the happiest Christmas in the world.
We know how to do it.
Always have. And we continue to do so.
Always will. So that is it for tonight. We hope that you enjoyed Ahsoka. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you thought. Let us know if you have any speculations, if there were any specific things that you really enjoyed or didn't enjoy. And, you know, just keep in touch. We love the comments. Keep us them. So until next time, may the Force be with you.